what's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this now Friday morning from Borgata, our home base every Friday. And this is not any old day. This is a big one because last night was a really big one. What a night in Philadelphia sports. The Sixers, they get an absolute must-win game three, and they get it fairly convincingly. Embiid, tremendous. I mean, absolutely tremendous. I got to believe the best playoff game he's ever played. So obviously the turn of game four this weekend and hope renewed. The Eagles, they land not only a cornerback, but one of the corners a lot of people wanted. Now, they had the pick of the litter, so we'll go inside the choices Howie had and obviously the one that he made. We'll get to that. A.J. Brown gets a big, big, big contract earlier in the day from the Eagles, and the Phils pick up a win. Look, we'll do it all, and we'll do it all with you at 215-592-9494. Hop aboard those phone lines with so much to react to. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, bud.
Attila the Hun died of a nosebleed.
Wow.
And it was after his wedding night.
Wow. Well,
he drank heavily the night before his death. He was celebrating and eating a lot also. And then the next morning he was found in a puddle of blood, but no wounds.
That's incredible. That really is. Well, I wonder if he was poisoned and, you know, people didn't know it. You know what I'm saying? You know what
never
I'm saying?
Never know, Joe.
You never know. Because after all, that's how Joffrey, Baratheon, is that what he was?
Yeah.
That's how he died, nosebleed. They didn't know for a couple less seasons of Game of Thrones that he had, in fact, well, they didn't know who he had been poisoned by, I should say. All right, 215-592-9494, an awful lot
but
to
I
get to.
But I felt justified when he was poisoned.
I think we all did. All right, so let's get to it here, guys. Let's start Eagles. We'll go Sixers. We'll do it all in the first segment and obviously look for a ton of calls through the show. So, Eagles, I wanted defense. We got defense. I wanted corner or D-line. I got one of them. You know, you get obviously a corner that we had discussed an awful lot. Now, John, this was an interesting one because in the end, meaning when it was time for the pick, Howie had his choice. He had his choice of, you know, you talked a lot about obviously Quinyon Mitchell and Terry and Arnold. It was interesting. Mel Kiper had Cooper DeJean actually ranked as the highest cornerback. Neither Mel nor Daniel Jeremiah had Quinyon Mitchell as the player that would be the best cornerback. Daniel Jeremiah, for what it's worth, had Terry and Arnold. Mel Kiper had Cooper DeJean. Obviously, it seems, based on much of the talk through many people and evaluators, that they're all kind of lumped together. But John, in the end, it's Quinyon Mitchell. What do you make of the pick, both what he'll bring and whether he was the right pick?
I expected Quinyon Mitchell to be off the board.
Yeah.
I expected that Quinyon Mitchell was going to be gone, especially at 22. I just did not include him as completely in my, you know, mock-up. I thought it was just likely that he'd be gone. I thought he'd be gone at 7. I thought he'd be gone way up there.
And why, ladies and gentlemen, John Ritchie is not a general manager.
The Eagles got their choice of cornerbacks, a position of need, and they didn't have to trade up. It is a win upon wins right now. This is a great job by Howie and his group last night. Quinyon and Terry and Arnold, those are the two cornerbacks that I like the best.
Yep.
Again, I thought Terry and Arnold might still be around at 18, 19, 20. I thought Quinyon Mitchell would be gone at 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
All but those quarterbacks being taken really helped.
It changed everything.
It really did.
It changed the way and the Titans taking the offensive tackle that I had my heart on at number 7,
yeah,
that changed the way I was looking at things too. That made me lean more defensively. And then as I'm looking, holy cow, cornerbacks, they're all still there. Holy cow, we're about to be on the board, and no cornerbacks are taken. This was wonderful last night. You know, Quinyon Mitchell, incredible value. The Senior Bowl is what must have done it for the Eagles scouts. I didn't have the you know, access to the Senior Bowl experience.
Yeah.
one of the stories that came out afterwards, you know, the word of Jeremiah, Daniel Jeremiah, put this out
word
in a tweet.
Word of Jeremiah. Sounds like it's from the Bible.
It does.
The word
it
of Jeremiah.
Praise be Daniel.
It can be a religious
right.
experience.
Daniel also, that's
when
right.
It feels this right. Yeah. It does feel this right. When Mike Tomlin at the Senior Bowl challenges the young man that you eventually draft, the story is he challenged Quinion Mitchell. Quinion Mitchell went to the front of the line all week long. He was taking on and challenging the best of the wide receivers at the Senior Bowl and dominating all week. What a display that must have been.
Right.
I didn't know about that stuff. That certainly tips him over the top if you're the Eagles and you've seen that in person.
Do you think he's going to have a better career than Terry Arnold?
I think it's, at this point it's a coin flip, and it's very, very clearly they both are excellent. They both have all the physical skills. Question with him was the level of competition, and when he went against the best competition, he was better than the best competition. So, yes, I think both of these guys have all the tools for success in the NFL, and I think they'll both be really good. This guy, there's something special, though, about a guy who went to Toledo, refused the transfer portal. Nick Saban, I think, talked about the fact that, hey, he was an attractive target in that transfer portal. This is a guy who stayed loyal to Toledo in today's day and age. Yeah. That is unique. 40 straight starts, that's also unique in a lot of great ways, you know, like having toughness, having belief in team, getting out there and actually playing. This is the kind of cornerback who will go out there and tackle because he's got something to prove. I like that.
Well, look, here's the deal. I think a lot of people like this pick an awful lot. And frankly, I don't want to say it doesn't. I mean, I really don't want to say that it doesn't matter who's better between him and Terry and Arnold and Cooper Jejean. It does. I was thinking back last night. I mean, it's a totally different scenario, but the top of the draft, you know, when the 76ers took Markelle Fultz instead of Jason Tatum. At some point, there's probably going to be a lot of separation, and it might not be as much as Markelle Fultz and Jason Tatum. One of these guys will probably emerge, probably, as significantly better than the other. I know this. As they're sized up by a lot of the analysts, they are considered, at least to this point, pretty even, Steven. What's fascinating about this one is the Eagles actually had their pick, and we did not expect them to have their pick. Like, the expectation was the Eagles, to get their pick, let's put it this way, would have to move up to draft the first corner. That's not what happened. They were able to stay where they were and pick which guy they wanted, which was pretty unique. I mean, it's
absolutely.
It's kind of similar
it's
to Jalen.
Steal.
It's similar to Jalen Carter last year, except it's a lesser talent. And, you know, with Carter, they moved up one spot, but it wasn't like they had to move up, you know, six spots or five spots to go get Jalen Carter. I mean, the draft kind of came to them.
For different reasons. Jalen Carter fell. Yeah. You can say that Quinion Mitchell fell because he went to a small school.
Well, you know,
unique that the top cornerback is still around at 22.
Here's the other thing you can say, John, because NFL history has showed us over and over again. Some of these teams that picked a quarterback in the first round last night probably are going to have a rough next 3 to 4 years. Because probably half these quarterbacks are going to be absolutely dreadful.
Why did Atlanta pick a quarterback?
That was really strange.
Quarterback, no less.
Yes.
You've guaranteed $100 million to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, the whole thing is totally bizarre. So look,
he's paying the bill.
He's paying the bill. Look, it benefits the. Okay, so the whole Eagles thing, we want to hear from you. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to defense. Your reaction specifically to Quinion Mitchell. Obviously, again, over Terrion Arnold, over Nate Wiggins, over Cooper Dejean, and just sort of luck, it's a certain degree of luck, that things fell to the Eagles the way they did. So that whole thing on the table. All right, let's get the Sixers out there as well. Spectacular job by Joel Embiid. I mean, what an incredible performance by him. I thought he was – first off, right out of the jump, you saw locked in Embiid. First time he touches the ball, I mean, right to the hoop. I didn't even think, you know, watching on TV that he had the angle to make that shot. He did. So, like, right out of the gate, you get an assertive.
That's true. Right? That was a weird angle.
It was a weird angle.
Trick shot.
He must have leaned his back or something. Lean back. All right. So he makes that shot. But then he makes, like, a whole bunch of others. You know, the jump shot was back. You know, Spike was talking in recent days about how the jump shot had abandoned him. So, you know, he was back to the jump shot, which really is the bread and butter of his game is not the three-point shot, although he made a bunch of them. It's not the classic low post up, although he made them. The bread and butter is, you know, catches the ball 14 feet out.
Yeah.
And
taller than everyone, and he can make that shot because he's got great
angles. Yeah, so he had that again last night. He also, I thought, clearly, it's the first time he didn't tail off at the end of a game, which is, and John, you've been, you know, pointing to this moment when Joel would get through stuff.
Oh.
And now, look, I'm not going to be convinced that we won't be back to a tail off at some point here, but at least for last night, John, we got the full package.
Yeah.
Embiid.
We know he can do it.
He can do it.
Yes.
And he and Maxey were great. Look, they didn't get a ton from, like, everybody else again.
But they did get something from campaign.
Yes, they did.
Finally, campaign gets an opportunity, and the guy has no conscience. I love the way he plays. He went out there and made good on the opportunity. I hope they continue to give him those opportunities.
Yeah.
I think they will. They should.
All right, so here's the deal. The whole Sixers thing also on the table. I mean, if you were out, are you back in? If you were in, is your hope re-energized with even additional hope to the point where you're like, you know what, I was in thinking they had a shot, could still do this. Now I think they will do this. And by do this, you guys know what I mean. I'm not talking about win game four. I'm talking about win the series. I'm talking about, like, really make the city proud.
Look, I believe they'll win this series. I believe they'll even it up. I believe we'll feel so much different as this thing's heading back to New York.
Well, I already feel largely different. We'll see.
Yes, because you should.
Look,
we proved that we can go out there and do this, and it doesn't have to be as close. It doesn't have to be a nail biter.
Yeah.
They are not going to shoot the lights out every time
out.
They're
no.
not going to get those crazy calls.
No.
Yeah, things are going to even out, and we are the better team, just like Joel said.
All right, so tons of Knicks fans there. We'll get into that reality. Embiid pulling down Mitchell Robinson. Frankly, I thought he was lucky to not get ejected. We'll get into that reality as well. Your phone calls on the whole thing. 215-592-9494. What a day because of what a night it was. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie from Borgata on 94 WIP.
She's your mom. She loves you unconditionally, and she's going to pretty much love whatever gift you give her, and that's why she deserves something unconditionally special. Colonial Marble and Granite, they've remodeled my kitchen. The finished product looks great. The entire experience from start to finish was remarkable. No one can beat Colonial Marble and Granite's selection, and their passionate team makes the entire process a simple breeze. Hurry in and save on a tile backsplash up to 30 square feet for as little as $499 right now at the Colonial Marble and Granite Mother's Day sale. To take advantage of savings like this and to explore our region's
All right, great to be with you on this Friday morning. Final Friday in the month of April, which looked to be a month for a bit there that wasn't going so well. Sixers obviously were in a hole. Now, to be clear, they still are down. Philly started off slow, but they have certainly bounced back. Philly's very much in the fight, and the Eagles landed a cornerback, and Howie Roseman referred to it last night as a position of need, which makes me think maybe they will not start James Bradberry, or maybe Bradberry moves inside and perhaps competes with Avante Maddox for the inside slot spot. I mean, you do have options there. So, one other thing.
They did run Bradberry a lot in the slot. Remember?
Yeah.
They were working him there, seeing how that worked. It didn't always work great, but he does have a lot of smarts, and he can he knows how to anticipate route combinations better than most.
If I'm Avante, I'm a little concerned.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, but they're in different personnel groupings. You can have a different guy manning the slot. That's a good problem to have if you're an Eagles fan.
All right, so let's one other thing and then right to the phones. Let's just get to the moment between Mitchell Robinson and Joel Embiid. Let's just lay it out there. I thought Joel should have been tossed from the game, and I think the Sixers got lucky. Was it over the top? Over the top. It's a no doubt about it. Toss him? Absolutely not. It was borderline.
Yeah.
But you know, in the world where it's about, you know, excessive and unnecessary, I mean, Joel's lying on the floor. A guy's about to go up for a dunk, and Joel pulls him by the bottom of his legs. I think the Sixers got very lucky.
It was like Draymond Green.
Right.
That stuff he does.
Incredibly unsafe. Incredibly unsafe. I thought at the time, hey, if it wasn't such a fiasco in New York. He is out of this game.
I think so, too.
Like,
if it was
thankfully,
a regular season game, I think he would have been gone.
Thankfully, we got hosed so that Joel got to stay in.
That's what I thought. I mean, we'll see where everyone else assesses it, but I thought the same thing. All right, let's go to the
phones. Obviously, he needs to be way smarter moving forward because that was,
please.
I mean, in the whole first half, really. Like, he needs to rein it the hell in.
He does. He really does, James. All right, let's go to the phones on all these topics. Let's kick it off with Kurt and Marlton. Good morning, Kurt.
Oh, baby. I am, let me tell you. Back in the early, back when NASA was developing the space program, they had these guys who had a reputation to be able to look at a problem, assess it, break it into its components, and then coolly and calmly solve that problem. They called these guys steely-eyed missile men. Howie Roseman yesterday was a steely-eyed missile man. First of all, he attended to the A.J. Brown situation, taking that topic off of the table, because you know it would have been discussed and all kinds of conjecture, and we don't need any of that.
Well, hold on, Kurt. Hold on. It leads to another form of conjecture. How long is Jalen Hurts going to be here?
We're going to see, aren't we?
I'm just telling you, like, my first thought when I saw the A.J. Brown news was, I wonder if it's a sign that the Eagles are even more down on Jalen than we've thought they might be.
How did you?
I don't get that at all.
Because I think there's something going on between. Spike said the same thing yesterday in the afternoon show. He
did not cross my mind.
Something's going on between AJ and
we don't
and
know that.
No,
AJ
that's
said
my,
there wasn't though.
But they also refused to answer the question beyond about 5 seconds.
I think this is a stretch and a half.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
no, but hold on. Hold on. To be clear, I'm not saying there definitively is. I'm saying I wonder if it's a sign that the Eagles are down on Jalen. That's what I'm telling you.
How do you
I think
get
it's
to
a
that?
Sign that they're up on
How do I get to that? Because of the Carson Wentz thing,
Jalen.
Because they went through like 3 years of him stinking, and maybe the Eagles don't. I mean,
but Jalen was almost the MVP a year ago, man.
Yeah, but
a
James,
year ago, and they, yes, exactly what John's
success.
Saying. They are setting Jalen up to be awesome is what they're doing.
Well, let me give you a flip side to that. They are clearly giving him advantages. There's no question. But there's also this fact. Howard Eskin, who's the one who put it out there yesterday, and obviously he knew AJ was about to get a contract, he puts it out there that AJ, like, maybe about to get a contract. Same person after the Tampa game that said Jalen Hurts is playing for his job in 2024, that he won't be the quarterback in 2025. Like, I think we all know Howard gets stuff from the Eagles. I'm just telling you, I connect the dots, and it makes me think that the heat is ratcheted up even more on Jalen. That's my sense of it. We'll see where it goes.
The heat was on him, let's face it. That's not new. Jalen's playing for his job until he shows he can do what he did in 22. That's just a fact. And
that's an interesting way to look at it, but it's true. I think everyone should look at their job that way in the NFL because that's the truth of the matter. But it's easy to lose track of that when everyone's pumping smoke your way, you know, if you know what I mean.
And, John, we both voiced a preference, if a mild one, for Terrion Arnold the other day. But you know what I didn't know, and I found out, is that the majority of his best plays took place when he was playing on the inside, and that's really not where the Eagles need to help right now.
Wow.
They need a good shutdown external corner, and that kind of speed will forgive a lot of aggressive play.
Hey,
so
that's
I think that was
a great
move.
Point. We did not talk about that part, the speed that you can make a mistake and make up for that mistake. The make-up speed, Terrion Arnold is a 4-3 guy. Terrion Arnold is a 4-5 guy.
Yeah.
The guy that we got, Quinyon Mitchell, is a 4-3 guy. When I was playing, the 4-3 guy, that's a rare air that's reserved for people like Deion Sanders. You know, you don't see stuff like that except in a rarity, and even then it's just like every once in a while and everyone's blown away. This guy can this guy can run with anyone. And that's got to be part of what put him over the top for the Eagles. He is so elite skill-wise that it's exactly why I thought he would be taken in the top 10 of this draft.
All right, let's talk to Brandon. Brandon, good morning.
Oh, what a night. Good morning, morning crew. How the heck are we?
Great.
Good. Man, and not a bad afternoon either with the Phils.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great night. Listen, that's the most passion I think I've seen Embiid play with. However, I will say he teetered the line between being reckless versus aggressive.
Yeah.
An aggressive Embiid is a good Embiid, but a reckless Embiid, you know, listen, if Embiid gets ejected, we could be 0-3, right? We're in the 0-3 in that series right now if he gets ejected in the game.
And by the way, I mean, Brandon, not theoretically impossible he could be suspended, but I don't think he will be. But, like, we shouldn't act like it's definite that he won't be. I mean, remember, Dwight Howard did what he did against the Sixers in whatever year that was, 2009, 10, 11, 8, I don't know. He was kept in a game in which a lot of us thought he should have been ejected. And then he was suspended for the next game. Now, the Sixers happened to lose that game against a Dwight Howard-less Magic team, but that happens sometimes.
Draymond, with the LeBron thing, he stayed in that game and then was out the next one.
Yeah. Now, I don't think the Sixers will get stuck with that. You know, those two instances were times when the team that had the player ejected were up in a series. I mean, not ejected, suspended, were up in a series. I tend to think the league's not – because if the league suspends Joel – you know, you got a great chance to make it a 5-game series.
He also doesn't have a reputation, you know, as like Draymond's a dirty player. We all know
that's
that.
Right.
And Embiid doesn't have like a huge reputation as a dirty player.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Agreed. But listen, I'll take the aggressiveness. He was aggressive right from the tip, from the jump off. And I think that set the tone on the floor last night. I agree. Like, he's got to, can he do that back to back? Are we going to get another aggressive Embiid? Or are we going to get Embiid, I'm out of gas, you know, midway third quarter, going into fourth quarter?
Yeah.
The Birds.
I think he can play defense. Don't you think he can play himself into shape, though? Don't you think that seeing him go as strong, as deep as he did, it seems like incrementally that's going to help him build up better conditioning for the next game?
Well,
that's what we've seen.
That's the theory, and that should happen. The question is whether he can sustain it long enough, but we'll see. Brandon, what do you got on the Eagles?
Listen, man, that was a great move by Howie. I think a lot of us didn't think he was actually going to pull the trigger there. You know, a lot of us thought he was going to stick to his guns where he usually does, somewhere on the line. So I think that –
You know what's crazy, though? 6 offensive tackles had been taken when we were picking. Think about that. I was hot for a cornerback or an offensive tackle. 6 tackles were gone. 0 cornerbacks were gone. Which is smarter to take? You got your pick of anyone in the draft at one position, or you get the 7th best at the other position.
Well, you know, it made me happy because
it's unbelievable.
I didn't want the line.
It's so fortuitous.
Yeah, no, I thought it worked out great. I really did. 215-592-9494. Coming up, why Howie Roseman took Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, in his own words, what Howie said. It was a late night press conference. You might have missed it. If you did, we'll play audio throughout the show. And specifically, why Quinyon Mitchell instead of the others? What Howie said? You'll hear it next. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie from Borgata on 94 WIP.
I'm ready for spring, although I'm not entirely sure my home is. But instead of getting stressed out about it, I'm going to get some help from Horizon Services. Their cooling and plumbing experts will spring into action to ensure my home systems are working reliably. So before you turn on your AC system, make sure to schedule a spring tune-up to avoid costly breakdowns and clear away the dust, dander, and pollen that have been building up since last year. Plus, right now,
you know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on to the other.
All right, great to be with you this Friday morning on a big day here from Borgata. As a lot happened yesterday in Philly sports, and it looks like an awful lot of it was really, really good for the Philly sports scene. Why Howie Roseman specifically chose Quinyon Mitchell, we'll get to that here coming up in just a moment. Let's get a lot of calls in. 215-592-9494. your reaction to all of it. Matt, Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. You know, that's you know, what you were – not what you were hoping for, but, you know, ultimately what you were hoping for, you know. You know, I think –
No,
I think
it's pretty much dead on. I mean, you got a cornerback and you got a Sixers win.
Well, I mean, you're
And A.J. Brown's going to be here for a long time. Now, I was interested – to be clear, I was interested in Byron Murphy, but it's very clear that there were so many options coming the Eagles' way that even if they liked Murphy, maybe even if they liked him more, and we have no indication that they did – Howie felt comfortable sticking with where he was because he knew a lot was coming his way and he didn't have to give up a second-round pick. I mean, a lot of what happened last night was tremendous.
You know, absolutely. You know, and I, you know, see a lot of stuff saying he didn't look like he was happy or, you know, he might sit. There's no way you sit that kid the first year, you know, and – Of course he's going to be unhappy. He got, you know, he got passed up on by 21 other teams, you know, and I mean, I'm sure that John knows, you know, the further you fall, the more money you lose. You know, these guys are here to, you know, to play, to get a paycheck and to win.
Well, I didn't think he
didn't look unhappy. He was like crowd surfing with the Eagles fans. Like he did like the super, like he looked super, I thought he carried himself with like a little swag. I loved it.
I think this guy's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and that's going to help us love him even more.
Yeah, man, I don't know if you're referring to the interview he did. Like, to me, he seemed like a focused, composed guy. He reminded me a
confident.
Little bit, ironically, of James Bradbury.
Absolutely, Joe. I thought the same thing.
Right? Like, it's not a Joel Embiid personality.
I love the way James Bradbury comports himself.
Business-like.
Too.
Business-like.
Yeah. Business-like.
And confident. He looked confident.
Yeah, think,
exactly.
You know, and I think the last thing I just want to point out is that interview with John Clark, with, you know, he said that Alabama was waiting for him in the transfer pool, but, you know, he, you know, that relationships are bigger to him than making money and other type of opportunities. So,
yeah, how about that? In today's world, that's a rarity.
It really is, especially for a guy. I mean, you know, look, I got to imagine a year ago, you didn't know for sure he was going to be a first-round pick and make first-round pick money, and he had a chance to go make NIL money and go to a bigger program, and he chose not to. It's pretty amazing. Let's get to today's Twitter poll. Questions of the day. We got three of them, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season at Armin. Available 2.9% financing for up to 72 months on all new light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. With the following cornerbacks available when the Eagles picked, who did you think they should have taken? Now, obviously, we know it turned out to be Quinyon Mitchell, but would you have gone with Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, or Nate Wiggins? Second poll question. Embiid, that moment with Mitchell Robinson, when Joel's lying on the floor, did you think Joel should have been ejected for pulling down Mitchell Robinson, yes or no? Third poll question, and this seems like something we roll out there now after every game. Now, who do you think wins the series, Sixers or the Knicks? Let's listen to Howie. And, of course, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines on all of this. Let's listen to Howie Roseman. He chose Quinyon Mitchell when he had his pick of the litter at cornerback. Why Quinyon Mitchell? Here's what Howie said.
As a follow-up to that, you had a choice like you referenced. What set him apart from Arnold one pick later?
Yeah, I think that those are hard decisions. You know, I think when you get into, you know, specific players that you have very similar grades, you know, there's no insurance on those things. And so I think for us, maybe we just felt like for our situation, what we were looking for, that, you know, this was the right player for us. But again, like you're talking about another really good player there. And again, these are close decisions.
So that's what you call a non-answer answer. No breakdown. There was no real analysis in there. We just chose him. We chose him.
I think it's got to be a huge, huge factor that they got to go watch him after the college season was over, compete against the top competition at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And when at the Senior Bowl, this player was challenged by Mike Tomlin himself to go out there and go up against the best of the best. So he chose the toughest wide receivers every day to pit himself against at the front of the line in drills. And he went out there and showed his stuff and impressed everyone. He was dominant. at the Senior Bowl, which put to rest a lot of those questions about the level of competition at Toledo.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
For the Eagles, that did the trick, clearly.
Let's listen to Lewis Riddick also because, you know, there was a lot going on. Of course, you had an ESPN broadcast. You got an NFL Network broadcast. Lewis Riddick was taught, and you can tell he loves him. You can tell Riddick loves Quinyon Mitchell.
I think that should mean a lot because Lewis Riddick knows a ton about football. And
sure
by
does.
The way, when I played with Lewis,
yep.
He was a defensive back. He was a guy who was getting everyone lined up, including the cornerbacks back there. The guy understands the way the game's played.
Well, let's listen to Lewis Riddick. Now, to be clear, this is about a minute before Quinyon Mitchell is picked by the Eagles. So there's a discussion of who should the Eagles take. Here's how Lewis Riddick answered. And Mitchell's on the screen, to be clear. Here's how Lewis Riddick answered the question. You can tell he loves him.
Let's live in a world where the Eagles do want a corner here. Lewis, which one should they take?
The guy on your screen right there, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. Talked to Jason Candle, texted back and forth with him. I've been to Toledo before, spoke to their football team. He vouches for this kid without any hesitation. As good of a player as he is, and he dominated down at the Senior Bowl, he is a better person. He's a pro. He is ready to handle the responsibility that comes with being a first-round pick in the National Football League. And he's got all the skills. All the skills. He's big. He can run, press off, finish, interceptions. He can do it all.
I got to tell you, I mean, that was a lot of love there. I got to tell you, I was frustrated. It was a good broadcast. Don't get me wrong. ESPN always does a good job. I was frustrated in the moment because I felt like we did not get enough analysis, not from Riddick, from Mel Kiper. For those that don't know, Mel Kiper specifically had Cooper DeJean ranked as the highest cornerback. As high for Mel Kiper as 14, Mel Kiper, had Quinyon Mitchell 20. So I'm listening to Lewis Riddick say that, and I needed to hear, and I felt like we didn't get it because, you know, a lot of times the word leaks, and then ESPN or any outlet will start saying, all right, well, let's talk about this guy. But it's like you got Mel Kiper sitting right next to Lewis Riddick, and I wanted Mike Greenberg to say, hey, Mel, you don't think Quinyon Mitchell's the guy the Eagles should take. Tell us why. I just thought it was a flat moment from ESPN to not get the point counterpoint because I was dying to know, all right, well, why the other guy? Now, in the end, obviously, you know, the Eagles got a player that a lot of fans wanted, so that's great. But I wanted to hear that analysis, and I thought ESPN blew that moment. Let's go to Keith in Germantown. Good morning, Keith.
The analysis, for my money, yep, is the Lewis Riddick analysis. Mel has his charts and everything else. He talks to people in front offices more. You know, like, it's a different level of analysis in for my money.
But Mel's the
you
godfather
got Mel,
of
who's
it.
More, I understand he's the godfather of it, but he's more the front office facilitator, communicator. Lewis is the guy who's watched all the tape on the guy.
That's not fair to Mel. That's not fair to Mel Kiper.
I'm telling you.
Mel Kiper's not watching the tape.
I'm telling you he's talking to agents. I'm telling you he's doing a lot more than watching tape. Lewis Riddick is watching tape. That's it.
All right. Are we going to get into a fight over Mel Kiper this morning? I love it.
I'm just saying. I wanted to hear why the other guy. Anyway, all right, let's go to Keith in Germantown. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing great, Keith.
Pretty excited, Keith.
Huge.
Oh, man,
day
it was a wonderful game yesterday. To see him take charge like that in the game and to score that many points as he did, I think Six is on the right road to go win this series. I think even though there's only one game, it seemed like it took the whole momentum out of the game, yes, their game, to make our game even stronger.
Look, I'll view it through a different prism, Keith. I view it through this. I thought before the series, with a healthy enough Joel Embiid, the Sixers are simply a better team. I don't view this so much through momentum because we've seen enough to know within the game and within the series, momentum can shift many times. I just want the better team to – I don't say I want the better team to win. I want the Sixers to be the better team. I think the Sixers are a better team. So go win the series. It's there to be had. That's what matters most.
Okay. And what do you think about Tobias? What are they going to do with him? He's not doing anything for this series.
Well, you know what you finally saw? I don't want to say finally. You've seen it a little bit, but not enough. He was finally or more extensively, let's say, sat in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was very notable coming down the stretch. You had Batum on the floor instead of Tobias. You just did. I mean, you had Embiid and Maxey, as you're always going to have. You had Oubre And I guess the other player was primarily Kyle Lowry.
Lowry was out there, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was hitting the free throws at the end and all that.
I mean, you just can't trust. You just can't trust Tobias. I mean, John, there was nothing Tobias did offensively. Look, again, I think a lot of these Sixers players are playing pretty good defense. Let me be clear. And I think Tobias is one of them. Not that he's a great defender, but he's hanging in there. Well, but, John, there was nothing from Tobias on the offensive end last night that demonstrates any turnarounds about to happen.
No.
It's more of the same old nonsense.
It is what it is. In 33 minutes, 8 points. I understand the contribution on the defensive end. Like you said, there are times where he's matching up. We need your help on Brunson. Minimize him. Brunson went off last night. You had 8 points in 33 minutes. It just, once again, it just feels paltry. Yeah. It's not enough. I feel excited when I see a guy like Campaign get out there.
He needs to play more than Buddy Hield.
He'll give us something. With Toby, it's like I believe he'll miss the bunny, and I'll be frustrated, and he'll look soft, and I'll get mad and yell at the TV. Campaign wants the basketball.
Well, they also, I thought, play Campaign, and it's so ridiculous the guy's name is Campaign. I thought they played him more. Like, to me, his minutes cut into Lowry last night. I mean, there were big stretches where Kyle Lowry wasn't in there after he had been going 40, you know, something minutes, it seemed like, in the first couple games. James, your assessment of – so, you know, you picked the Knicks to win the series, I believe, in seven initially.
Yep.
You were still there, even though the Sixers had two very close losses after one and two. So how do you now reassess if you do?
So I still would say Knicks in seven, but – for the first time, I think the Sixers have a real chance to win the series. But here's my thing is, like, are we going to get that guy again? You know, every single game here, because to the point we made, they still have to win three of four, you know, one way or another.
Yeah.
And if Embiid takes two of those games off and we get, you know, a fourth quarter where he's not doing that stuff, that could be it for them. So I feel much, much, much better about the Sixers than I have at any point, but I still need to see it.
All right, let's get to Antone calling from North Philly. Hi, Antone.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I just want to say
Antoine,
this.
Antoine, my fault. Antoine.
Antoine.
I need Seltzer to just put some of this stuff phonetically for me. Hello, Antoine.
Yeah, all okay. Right. Next time I will.
Hey, guys. I just
That's how you spell
this.
It.
We're A-N-T-O-I-N-E.
That's how I spelled it, Antoine. Thank you.
All right, Antoine, okay. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, listen, everybody's talking about this pick that we got. Think about it. We got a guy at Chatham State University. Undrafted by the name of Andre Water. Remember him? Was phenomenal for us. Phenomenal. We also got a guy named Jason Peters who was undrafted. So this guy may be a diamond in the rough. He may be a diamond in the rough. You know, everybody wants to put their head on it. Oh, he didn't play big time. He didn't play this. Guess what? Football is football, brother. And he may step up to the plate. They saw him.
Well, the all-time examples are Jerry Rice and Walter Payton. I mean, you know, and that's not an undrafted scenario. Those guys were first rounders.
Small
but
schools.
They were small
T.O.
schools.
T.O. Yeah.
T.O.'s another. Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Hugh, who didn't go to Florida State.
Yep.
Central.
Wilbur Montgomery was something Christian, Abilene Christian.
Yeah, Abilene Christian. That's exactly right.
I mean, you know, like, so, and then obviously Steve McNair is another. I mean, there are examples. There's no question.
Yeah. So I'm saying, how he does his homework. They sat down, they did their homework, they said, you know what, this kid has something to prove, he has something to bring to the table. He could have had the opportunity to go to Alabama to play quote-unquote big-time football, but you in the clip that y'all played, what did they say? He's a good person.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I think stands out. He brings, that means he has some ethics and things like that that he's going to bring to the program, and I'm happy with him.
And well, I agree. I'm sorry, Antoine. Go ahead, buddy.
And as far as the Sixers go, real quick, listen, brother. Embiid got to stop the dumb stuff. Put his mind to team-oriented basketball. And look, sometimes he needs to just get in the paint and bang. That's my point on that.
Well, sometimes he does, but he did a lot outside the paint last night.
The three-pointer is what got us rolling.
That was big.
Night.
And the two in a row in the fourth quarter was a big stretch. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Prince. How are you?
Doing great, Ken.
Great night last night. So before I get to the draft, Joel, you know, makes the statement the other day, we're going to win the series. Now, I don't think they're going to win the series. I still don't because of last night, but – hey, if they lose the series, it's not going to be because of Joel.
And not necessarily, Ken. He couldn't finish games one and two effectively. Well, it might not be his fault if it's related to an injury and bad luck, but the fact that he couldn't finish one and two strong could be a main reason why they lose this series.
Well, that's what I mean. If he's physically hampered or something, right. That's one thing. But
right.
there's if you're having heart conversations about Joel Embiid because he doesn't score 50 every game for the rest of the series, then you probably shouldn't be calling the station.
No, but Ken, I'll flip this around this way. It's not about 50, but it's if there's a Game 7 in New York, like there was a Game 7 last year in Boston, he better give you 25 to 30.
Definitely.
You know, his Game 7 last year was heartless. It was heartless.
But no, I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
But the point is, he made the statement, and then, you know, the old cliche, one game at a time.
Yep.
Well, first game after making a statement, comes out, hangs a 50-burger on him. So you got to like to see that.
For sure.
If you told me at this time yesterday morning that the Eagles were going to draft Quinyon Mitchell and you knew this for a fact, I would have asked you what they had to give up to get him.
Yeah. Where'd they trade up to? Did they trade up to 10?
Exactly. It was, and, you know, I got a text from somebody that some of us know when the Steelers drafted at 20 and said, sorry, buddy, because they took Troy Fatanu. But with all of those corners just sitting there, we've seen these feeding frenzies before in the draft, and it's kind of funny to watch while it's happening.
Yeah.
When Michael Penix goes at 8 and you're just like, what? And then the Broncos draft Bo Nix with the 12th pick in the draft. Bo Nix, really? So when the first offensive player doesn't come off the board, or first defensive player doesn't come off the board until 15, you know, you're kind of sitting there saying, Howie must be getting frustrated because he's got no reason to trade up. Everybody on their board with first round grades is still sitting there. So, boy, it couldn't have gone better. And thank God we don't have a GM here that gets dragged into these feeding frenzies and makes these decisions, you know, based upon what
he's
the
very savvy.
Ken, there were 6 tackles taken before we had our pick of all the cornerbacks.
Yeah. And look, I'm sure some of that is luck, but I'm sure some of it also is how we
just being smart.
Assessed, you know, in the weeks leading up.
It's relationships, Joe. Yep, exactly right. And it's understanding what people are thinking, what they might do, all that type of stuff.
All of it. You know, it's 2 years in a row. It's really worked out well from that standpoint. All right, coming up, it has become an annual tradition. The Eagles make a draft pick, and then Micah Parsons reacts with tremendous annoyance of who the Eagles got. When Micah Parsons said, this time, this year,